Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Standing on the plains of Moab, Moses spoke to God's people. They were on the cusp of entering into the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey, a land promised to them by God. And as far as the eye could see, this land would soon be theirs, a land they could finally settle in, finally call home. They had the promise of God's provisions, the promise of His blessings. And the only thing that stood in their way were a bunch of nations who had already settled there and had no intention of forfeiting their land. These nations, they'd claimed the same land as their own, and they would fight to keep it. And Israel knew that. And Israel knew that as they stood on those plains, they were facing certain death. So Moses speaks into their fear and uncertainty. And he says this, "For the Lord will vindicate His people and have compassion on His servants. When He sees that their power is gone and there is none remaining, bond or free, then He will say, 'Where are their gods, the rock in which they took refuge, who ate the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offering? Let them rise up and help you. Let them be your protection.'" This was a message of confidence. Their God was for them. Their God would go before them and cast judgment on their enemies. But then Moses seems to pivot. He seems to turn his message, and God continues to speak through him, but this time towards Israel, not Israel's enemies. He says this, "See now that I, even I, am He, and there is no God beside me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand." How would the nation have received this message? On the surface, it probably made very little sense. For what does it mean to kill and make alive? Surely, he is not talking about Israel's enemies, those that are there and claiming the land that God had promised Israel. But if not them, then who? Surely not the Israelites. Killing the Israelites? Even if he's also speaking of resurrecting them in some way? Now, there's a lot of value in exploring this in this historical context. But I think there's a greater value today in exploring the larger context of God's master story, especially on Palm Sunday. And that's what I want to do. And I want to focus in on that one sentence, "I kill and I make alive." What can we learn from that? What can we apply? How can we apply that? I think we learn something extremely profound about God, something that maybe even summarizes the entire story of God. Here's what I mean. The first two words show that God judges. I kill. He is a God who demands justice for sin. He must, if he is to be a righteous God. And this is a terrifying reality that we all face, that God is the ultimate judge by which we measure our own actions, and that those actions always fall short. So we deserve the judgment that should be handed down to to us. We deserve the I kill action of God. But judgment is never the final word from Him. Grace is. And I make alive. All throughout Scripture we find this pattern. Starting even just after the fall of Adam and Eve. They withdrew their trust from God. So He judged them by proclaiming a curse, but He didn't end there. Instead, what does He do? He extends His grace through the promise of a Messiah. And He exemplifies this grace through the compassionate act of clothing them with garments made from animal skin. God judges, I kill. But He always does so in service to redemption. Now, one of our Lutheran Church documents explains it this way. Therefore, the law works wrath and always accuses, and it terrifies consciences through the knowledge of sin and God's wrath. In these terrors, the law performs its office with a view to repentance, in order that men may flee to Christ. God's act of judgment always serves one divine purpose: to drive sinners to Christ. Now, as we enter into Holy Week, our gospel provides another example of God's I kill and I make alive. As Jesus enters through the gates of Jerusalem, He faces the wrath of God. He knows that the I kill will be laid upon Him for the iniquities of the world. He will suffer. He will be crucified on the cross for our transgressions. But this will not be the end of the story. There will be an I make alive 3 days later, when Jesus will rise from the grave as proof of God's satisfied judgment and grace for this sacrifice. In this act, God will have acted out His promise to the Israelites on the plains of Moab. He will have allowed Jesus to have been killed, but will have also raised Him to life. Now here we stand, not on the plains, but in the sanctuary. And we have heard the same words spoken this time to us. What have we learned that can be applied to our lives? Well, first, we can know that we are a part of God's story. The story of creation, Christ's suffering and death, Christ's resurrection and eventual return is a story about God who has created and promises to redeem. And within this story is the story of us. A story about a God who finds no satisfaction in the judgment of us, but instead finds joy in the redemption won through the work of Jesus. We are part of this story, the part that receives the mercy and the grace that Jesus won, God offers. This is our story today. We are not just hearers. We are participants. God's words in Deuteronomy were not just for Israel. They're also for us. These words reveal the unchanging character of God. He who alone is sovereign, who alone judges, and who alone saves. That should impact how we live our lives. The world views His way as confusing, as stumbling blocks. They view the "I kill" as offensive and "I make alive" as impossible. They reject the idea that sin deserves judgment. They reject the idea, the reality that Jesus is the answer to that judgment. But we know better. We have been baptized and know the truth. We have already died in Christ and have already been made alive in Him. And so we live. Not as the world does, but as those who have already passed through the "I kill" and are living in the "I make alive." We no longer live in fear of judgment because Christ endured that for us. We no longer walk as those uncertain of our future because we know the ending. "I make alive" is the final word. So as we enter into Holy Week, let us fix our eyes on Christ, seeing in Him the fulfillment of these words. Let us follow Him to the cross, not in despair, but in faith, because we know that after the cross, after the "I kill," comes the resurrection. The "I make alive." Because Jesus lives, so do we. Amen. Let us pray. You alone are God. There is no other. You kill and You make alive. You wound and You heal. In Your perfect judgment, justice, You judge sin. And in Your gracious mercy, You redeem sinners. As we stand before You today, we give thanks that Your final word to us is not judgment, but grace, not death, but life. Amen.